In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the third Sunday of Lent, and our Holy Mother, the Church, presents a gospel to us where Christ is casting out a devil, and he's accused of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. And after he plainly shows that it is foolish talk to think that devils will cast out devils, he gives an example of what happens when the devils are cast out. Too often we think that once we reach a goal, we're safe or secure. And our Lord is pointing out to us, even after the devils are once cast out, the devils keep coming back. They keep looking for some way to enter in, some way to trip us up, some way to entrap us. And when they fail, they bring back even more recruits. And so often we are under the impression that as we advance in the spiritual life, we will experience fewer temptations by the devils, fewer temptations of the world. Perhaps you can overcome some of your fallen nature. But the further you get away from the devil, the closer you get to God, the more the devils are going to pull out their assault, their attack. And they come at us from every angle, from every direction. And they will not give up until we are either securely in heaven or securely in hell. They keep up the assault. And there is never a moment for us to rest. And I look around the world today and I see so much, if I dare say, demonic in the world. You might call them euphemisms, but they are outright lies, assaults against God. It's not just spiritual sins, but sins against nature that St. Paul says, don't even let them be named among you. But yet we cleverly give them a different name. Rather than call murder, murder, we'll call it abortion. And now all of a sudden, it's acceptable. Oh, if you don't like the name abortion, we'll call it women's health. Women's health care. And we can euphemistically say, well, it's not abortion per se. It's not really murder. And perhaps those of you who've studied a little English literature, you'll remember Shakespeare, I think it was in Romeo and Juliet, a wonderful passage. What is a name? A rose by any other name, will it smell just as sweet? Does it matter what I call this thing? And I say to you, sin by any other name is still sin. It doesn't matter if you change your pronouns. You're not something other than what God has made you. Changing the name doesn't change you. Changing the label doesn't change the object. It is still what it is. A man is never a woman. No matter if he grows his hair long, goes through mutilating surgeries. Has everybody referred to him by a female name and used female pronouns? Doesn't matter. He's still a man. But yet the world will tell us, oh no, if he decides he wants to be a woman, then he's a woman. And now we don't even know what a woman is because now none of our terms have any meaning. These labels are just appropriated willy-nilly, and we're supposed to be okay with that. And they tell us if we're not okay with that, then we don't really have charity in our hearts. We don't really love. And we are somehow the evil ones because we refuse to call a rose a stink bug. No, a rose is a rose. The stink bug is a stink bug. The stink bug is not a rose. And it doesn't matter if everybody else calls it a rose. It will never smell like a rose. It will never be a rose. Yes, even the little children know. But yet the devils come at us from all angles. They tell us if we don't accept their mislabels, not to go say outright crimes, sins, immorality, that we somehow don't love. The love of God is not in us. And I say if we truly love, we must stand up with Christ and say, no. Evil is evil. We must be with St. Paul. Let's not even allow these things to be named among us. And that doesn't mean we simply change their name. That's not what St. Paul is telling us. Let's just call it something else and then it'll be okay. Immorality is immorality. Uncleanness is uncleanness. And the devils are constantly attacking us. And so we must constantly be on our guard. It's not okay. It's a whole process of wearing us down. If you will accept this, then you will accept the next thing, and you will accept the next thing. And the devils don't give up. They keep pushing and keep pushing. You say, well, how are we to survive in this? How are we to fight against these devils? Our Lord tells us many times throughout the Gospels, watch, keep vigilant, for your devil, St. Peter tells us, your devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I want to remind you, their lions don't always roar. They like to sneak up silently and stealthily. And so it is with the devils. They come upon us when we're not paying attention, when we're least aware. And so we cannot lull ourselves to sleep. I've been good these past 3 weeks of Lent. I've done pretty good. I can relax now. And the moment you relax, you've opened the door for the devils because they're not relaxing. The devils don't get tired. They don't have to sleep. They don't have to rest. They're constantly going from all of eternity. From the beginning of the creation of man, they have been working for our destruction. And they're very good at their job. How do we fight? How do we resist? We have to rest. We can't be vigilant 24/7. I bet if I asked these little children, they could tell me what we need to do. You have a guardian angel. Ask your guardian angel. When you can't keep vigil, when you have to rest, when you have to put down your weapons, call upon your guardian angel. Before you go to sleep, ask your guardian angel to come by your side to watch, to guard you, to protect you, to guide you. When you wake up in the morning, ask your guardian angel again. Thank your guardian angel for getting you through the night. You have all the help you need. Pray. Call upon the guardian angel. The devils were once angels. The devils are fallen angels. You want to see a fair fight, you need to get the angels against the devils. It's not a fair fight for you to try and fight the devils on your own. You're going to lose. You can't win. The devils are a whole lot older than you. They know a whole lot more than you. But so do the angels. And if we call upon the angels, they will be there to help keep these devils away. If we call upon our guardian angel, they will help us to see the truth, to recognize the truth. But most importantly, to see the lies, the deception, and to recognize them and avoid them. And to be charitable the whole time. You don't have to become mean or vicious, but to charitably say, no, I am not going to call evil good. I am not going to call sin good or a blessing. I am not going to call an unlawful union marriage. What God has created is good. To call it something else is an insult against God. It is idolatry. It is bowing down to the devils, whose only goal is our destruction. They offer us really nothing that is good, nothing that is useful, but yet we so easily fall for their lies. We so easily fall into their traps. And if you have gotten away from your guardian angel prayer, I encourage you, at least for what's left of this season of Lent, learn to call upon your guardian angel. Talk to your guardian angel. Ask your guardian angel to be there. To light, to guard, to rule, and to guide over you. But most importantly, to fight this fight of the devils. And just as the one devil that was cast out brought back seven devils worse than himself, your guardian angel has friends too. And you can have a whole host of angels there to fight for you when you need it. That is, if you're friends with your guardian angel. If you will call upon your guardian angel. This is a constant fight that is not going to let up. And the moment you think you've gained some headway in one position, the devils are attacking you in your weak position somewhere else. We are very limited. We focus our attention on one aspect of our spiritual life and something else falls away. Your guardian angel can pick up that slack. The guardian angel can protect your flanks, as they say in the military, in battle, in war. They're always looking for the weak spot to attack, the most vulnerable spot. And the devils know it. They've watched us. They've studied us. But so have the angels. Pray to them. Thank them. Ask their protection. Ask their guidance. Ask their help. Night and day. Because the devil is sneaking around. Ready to pounce on us. The moment we forget, the moment we're distracted, the moment of our weakness, and they attack with full force, they're not going to let up. And they will not stop. There is no rest here on earth for us. Our rest is in heaven. Right now, we must fight the good fight. We must run the course. And I'm telling you, if you want to run the course safely, if you want to win the fight, if you want to win the battle, if you want to win the war, you need your angel beside you. Don't forget him. Call out upon him day and night, but especially when you're striving to advance in virtue. You want to draw closer to God. You want to chase the devils out. You want to overcome some evil temptation, some evil habit. Your guardian angel is the answer. He is the key. Don't neglect him. And if you will listen to your angel, you will be protected against so many of these snares, so many of these sins that St. Paul says, don't even let them be named among you. If you listen to your guardian angel, you're not going to be deceived. When the world says that evil is good, and good is somehow evil. Otherwise, we don't have a chance. The devils have the home advantage, if you will. They've been here longer than we have. But God has given us guardian angels. And they have been commanded to watch over us, to help us. And if we're just a little bit nice to them, it will make their job so much easier. They will not be turning away from us. You want to love? You want to have true charity? First, love God. Love the angels that God has given us. And call upon them. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.